Time to talk a little Red Sox baseball. To do that, we're joined on the G&M Family Market phone line by Tim Britton of the Providence Journal. Tim, good afternoon.
What's going on, Rich?
Well, I'm just trying to decide whether this Hector Velasquez baseball card will have any value later.
You know, he's still on the roster for now, but I think provided everything goes well with David Price tonight in Buffalo, last night was probably a one-start cameo for Hector Velasquez for now, at least.
Now, if Price can come back and be any semblance of his former self with the way Sale and Porcello are pitching and lately Eduardo Rodriguez as well, you got to feel pretty good about having four solid starters. And there aren't many teams in the league that can say they can go five deep anyway.
Well, the thing about the Red Sox rotation that's strange is you say, man, if you get the top four of these guys into a postseason series, you'd feel awfully good about it. It's crafted well for the playoffs. For the regular season, you have more concerns because we've seen what's happened with depth starters like Velasquez behind these guys. And then you have health concerns with not only Price, who you haven't seen in a game setting all season, not even in spring training, as he faced opposing hitters. And then Pomeranz, who's had to leave his last start with another tricep tightness issue that's cropped up now twice this season. You always worry about where he is health-wise. I think that's the concern with the rotation, but you say, man, if these guys stay healthy, if they get to a division series in October, you can throw Sale, Porcello, Price, and Rodriguez at another team. You feel really good about that.
The bullpen, again, Kimbrel's been lights out. He has to go sometimes more than an inning. They had that terrific every man out there effort the other night against St. Louis, but there's still something missing, and apparently it was Noe Rodriguez or Ramirez that was missing.
Yeah, well, we'll see. He's up just to, I think, provide lanes in case of an emergency, with the way the bullpen has been taxed the last couple of days. Velasquez not going terribly deep last night, and the marathon game in St. Louis, pretty much where everyone pitched. The bullpen, I think if Thornburg and Smith were coming back the way they thought they were, if Thornburg were ready to come back already this season the way they thought when they initially put him on the disabled list, and if Smith were able to come back sometime in June the way they expected at the start of the season, well then, you feel really good about the bullpen kind of treading water until they get those big guns back. But there's so much uncertainty around Thornburg. Smith is in better shape now, but you still don't know when he's going to come back. You don't know how aggressively you can use him. So you kind of think, well, these are the guys we have and that we're going to have going forward for a long span of time. So you need guys like Matt Barnes and Heath Hembree and Joe Kelly to pitch the way they have for most of the season. Barnes especially had a really nice bounce-back outing last night.
Andrew Benintendi has been scuffling a little bit lately. Is there any real cause for concern there?
I don't think there's a real cause for concern because I think the offer certainly takes the headline, but you look at the underlying quality of the at-bats, it's not like he doesn't look lost up there the way we've seen some other players at times. I remember Jackie Bradley Jr. in 2013-2014 would look lost when he was going through long spans like this, or even Xander Bogaerts then in the middle of 2014. So I think that's why you're not too concerned. But at the same time, you have to realize that Benintendi's track record, while it's getting longer in the major league, it's still not terribly long, and it wouldn't be the strangest thing in the world if he does go through an extended slump and it isn't the hitter that he has been the first couple weeks of the season. The way Bogaerts in 2014, the first 2 months, was hitting over 300 and looked fantastic, and then went into a three-month tailspin before he got out of it. It wouldn't be the most unusual thing in the world that happens to Benintendi. At the same time, I don't think anyone expects it, and there's no real reason to expect it.
Some reports this week that the Red Sox are looking around at other options around the league, including some guys on the White Sox. Would Todd Frazier be a good fit for this team?
I think Frazier is a guy you think about in July if Pablo Sandoval hasn't worked out for you at third base. The first thing they have to figure out at third base is whether Sandoval can be an option when he comes off the disabled list. If he can field the position well, if he can do enough offensively for you to go forward with him. Because if you give up on him this season, you're essentially giving up on the rest of his Red Sox career for the next 2 years beyond this. And if he's not an option for you, then you start to look outside the organization at guys like Todd Frazier, Mike Moustakas in Kansas City. Josh Donaldson's the golden goose out there, but I don't think the Red Sox will go that far given what they have in Rafael Devers, who's tearing up AA there in Portland. It looks really good this season. Probably not ready for a big league call-up now and might not be ready for one until August or September. And that will be, you know, the determining factor with whether they go outside the organization will be how they feel about Sandoval, one, and then where they see Devers fitting in, whether it's this year or sometime in the future.
We're talking with Tim Britton of the Providence Journal. Speaking of guys down on the farm, if they can't use and trust Hanley at first base, is there a chance that we see Sam Travis sooner rather than later?
Yeah, especially the way Travis has been hitting the ball lately. He got off to a really slow start in Pawtucket, but I think he went 5-for-6 the other day for the Paw Sox in the game they still managed to lose. He's really come on offensively. His defense is still a work in progress, but if you're looking for a guy to spell Mitch Moreland, a guy to hit to play first base against left-handed pitchers, which is what they wanted Ramirez to do at the start of the season, Travis certainly fits that role for you, probably better than Josh Rutledge, who you're having to play at third a fair amount, who's the other guy on the roster that can do that.
Chris Sale gets the start tonight, and of course he has been great every time out there. Is there a different feel in the park when he's on the mound?
Yeah, and it doesn't take long for Chris Sale to assert his control of the game. You look at what he's done the first time through the order, the last several, I think his last four starts, the first time through the order, he struck out at least 6 of the 9 guys. He's striking out something like 56-57% of batters the first time through the order. So it seems by the third inning of every start, he's already got 7 or 8 strikeouts. So you're thinking, man, this might be a night he gets to 18, 19, 20 before it slows down a little in the middle inning. But it's certainly been fun to watch what Sale's been able to do, kind of time in and time out. Really, the one inning, he's had one bad inning really all season, the one in Minnesota against kind of his bete noire in the Twins. But other than that, he's been just outstanding every time out there to the point where his last outing, where he strikes out 12 and gives up 2 hits, feels like a disappointment.
Very interesting story in the Providence Journal that you guys had on the potential new ballpark down in Pawtucket. And my goodness, in these times when cities and states are trying to get out of the baseball stadium or football stadium business, it's a pretty hefty price tag the folks of Rhode Island will be asked to foot.
Yeah, it's certainly a smaller price tag than the one that the Paw Sox asked for 2 years ago when they were trying to get more than $100 million from public funds. So I think it's a precarious time in sports economics where cities and states are realizing that, you know, a lot of times it's not worth the investment. We've seen down in Miami with the Marlins and the Braves with their various affiliates, I've gotten a lot of public money that hasn't necessarily pumped back into the local economies. The Paw Sox are trying to find a compromise where they still get something they want, and it's kind of, I think, revenue neutral is the key phrase that they're going with in Pawtucket and in the state of Rhode Island. To keep the team there, they've got a site that they like to build a kind of Fenway replica, but make it fair for both sides.
Late nights when the Sox are playing these West Coast games, what's the best part of that from your perspective, though?
You know, I'm not out in Oakland with them this week. I generally like covering those games because, you know, it's going to be too late for me to get in a print deadline. So I can kind of relax for a couple innings in the middle innings, maybe go out to the stands and sit in the crowd for an inning or two. You don't get to do that at home too often. You got too much to write. So that's nice. But it can be difficult to stay up all night with them when I'm not on the road with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Tim Britton of the Providence Journal. Tim, as always, great talking with you. Thanks for making time for us. Enjoy the games this weekend. We'll check in again with you soon.
Oh, anytime, Rich. Thank you.